Amen. You may be seated. Wow, it's so good to be back with you this morning. Thank you for praying for our team that went to France for the last week or so. And our team just had a great ministry. I'm so thankful for each one that went and for the work that they did. I'm telling you, the church in Fréjus was an extreme makeover. The place where they meet for worship, our team painted and hung curtains and ceiling and built a platform and a sound system, and it was an extreme makeover. My only regret is I didn't get to see the finished product, because Jason and I, of course, midway through the week, we went to the other side of the country to see our nephew Tyler and his wife Kat and their kids at La Rochelle. Last Sunday we were there with the church at La Rochelle. And it's just great to know, as a church, by God's grace, we have two lights in France. And let's continue to pray and to support and to love our missionaries and our lights that God has given us in the country of France. And so, again, thank you so much. We'll probably show some pictures here at some point in time so you can see everything that was done with our team this last couple weeks here. Of course, Wednesday nights at Emmanuel, everything is off and going, and there's always room for anyone that wants to join in one of our classes, and you can find the list of the classes online, and we'd love to have anybody else join us, and a lot of good Bible teaching and good fellowship. Our connection groups, if you'd like to be part of a small group of a dozen or so adults in our church that meet on a regular basis to pray for each other, And we'd love to have you get involved in any way like that you can. I want to thank Alan for filling in last Sunday, and great communion, meditation, and service. But it is always so good to be back. And as you know, we're going through the book of Exodus. So turn to Exodus chapter 20. Been going through the book of Exodus in a series of messages that we have entitled A Journey to Freedom. And we've come to chapter 20 as God has led his people out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, and now to Mount Sinai. And at Mount Sinai, he is giving them his word, and that begins with the Ten Commandments. Now, the word that we look at today, the fifth word, or the fifth commandment, is a transition. Deuteronomy 31 tells us that God gave the law to Moses on two tablets. Sometimes it's referred to as the two tables of the commandments. Why were there two? Well, Jesus helps us understand that, because someone asked Jesus what's the greatest commandment, and he said, I'll tell you the two great commandments. The first is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like to the first, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, on these two commandments, all the law and the prophets hang. And so there's the two divisions. That's why there's the two tablets, or the two tables. There's the one that is all about loving the Lord your God, and then the second that is about loving your neighbor. And so those first four commandments that we've looked at are about loving God. You'll worship no other god but me. You won't make graven images. You won't use my name in vain. And you will remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. That's all about our love for God. And then starting with the fifth word, we have the second table, which is all about loving neighbor. And it begins with loving your closest neighbor, your first neighbor, which is your mother and your father. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning, the fifth commandment. It's found in Exodus chapter 20. And if you're able, and if you found your place in God's word, let's stand as we read verse 12 together. Exodus 20 and verse 12, which reads like this: Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we just bow before you now and ask for your Spirit to be our teacher and to help us, Lord, to see how exceedingly broad this command is to honor our father and mother. Lord, we pray for your grace to help us today, to help us both as children to honor father and mother, and to help those who are parents who are teaching their children how to live in right relationship to other people and how to live in right relationship to authority. Oh, Father, we see how absolutely important this is in the day in which we live. So, God, would you please meet with us? May your Spirit be our teacher. And we pray this now in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you may be seated. As we unpack this fifth commandment this morning, I want to ask five questions of the fifth word or the fifth commandment. And the five questions would be these. Number one, what does it mean to honor father and mother? Honor is the one key verb in verse 12, and so what exactly does it mean to honor father and mother? The second question is this. Why does the commandment say father and mother and not just parents? Is there any significance in it saying father and mother and not just honor your parents? Hint, there is significance. That's why it made the list of five questions. All right, but we'll get to that later. Number three, what does the promise that your days may be long in the land mean? And number four, then, is this promise for Christians? And then the fifth question is, how can we keep this commandment? What does it look like in your life and my life in the keeping of this fifth word or fifth commandment? So, question number one, what does it mean to honor father and mother? The Hebrew word kaved, that's how you might pronounce it, is the word that's used here, that's translated honor, as the one key verb of verse 12. And it literally means something that is heavy or weighty. And while it is used in a variety of different ways in the Old Testament, it's often used to describe, get this now, people's worship response to God. So as you look at that word, honor, and understand that that Hebrew word means to something that's weighty or heavy, understand that many times it's used in the Old Testament to talk about people's worship response to God. Let me give you some examples. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, God speaks about those who honor him. In Psalm 86, verse 9, all the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify, there it is, your name. Or Proverbs 3 and verse 9, honor, there's the word, the Lord with your wealth. Or Isaiah 24, verse 15, therefore, in the east, give glory to the Lord. In the coastlands of the sea, give glory to the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. Now, this is not to say that parents are to be worshipped in the same way that God is worshipped. I refer you back to commandment number one, you'll have no other gods before me. Commandment two, you'll have no graven images in my place. So this is not saying that parents are to be worshipped in the same way that God is to be worshipped. But it is to help us understand just how heavy and weighty the commandment to honor father and mother is. This is weighty. It is heavy. It is absolutely significant and important to each and every one of our lives. This word is used in order to shape and form our hearts in having a right attitude toward father and mother. Now listen, this commandment is so fundamental to life because all of our parents should introduce us to two aspects of living that are absolutely essential to understand and to get a handle on. And the first is this, how to live in relationship to other people. You know, you're not the only one on the planet. You know that now, right? You didn't start out knowing that. You thought you were the only one that existed. And any need that you had, you would scream your lungs out until that need was met. But somewhere along the line, you began to figure out you're not the only one on the planet. And job number one of parents is to teach their children how to live in relationship to other people. Number two, how to live in right relationship to authority. You know, you found out not only are you not the only one on this planet, but you also somewhere along the way figured out you're not in charge. You didn't know that to begin with, but somewhere at some time you figured out you're not in charge of things. And listen, the second aspect to life that parents teach us is how to live in right relationship to authority, because it is fundamental to being a father and a mother, which is to teach your children how to live in right relationship to other people and to live in right relationship to authority. Let me put it the other way. Let's look at the other side of that coin and say it like this. Fathers and mothers, if you are not teaching your children to live in right relationship to other people and to live in right relationship to authority, you are setting them up for a miserable existence. Yes, you are. You are setting them up for a miserable existence. I'm so thankful to know that God in His grace can blast through bad parenting. Amen to that. God in His grace, as we're going to talk about later, can fill in the gaps that maybe bad parenting has created. But listen, parents, your primary responsibility as you bring them up is to teach them how to live in right relationship to others and how to live in relationship to authority. And if you do not do that, you are setting your children up for a miserable existence. Think about it. Think about all the basic things in life that your father and mother teach you. They teach you things like how to eat. That's kind of important. How to talk, how to walk. They teach you that you have ears and a nose. That's always kind of fun. They teach you about personal safety. Don't stick your finger in that. That's such a tough one to learn. I don't know why it is. That's why they invented caps to put over every outlet in your home. They teach you how to work. They even teach you how to play. They teach you how to love others. Boy, that has been so impressed upon me in this almost year now of having a grandson. It's amazing to me, and as I sit back, this is one of the good things about being a grandparent, is that you're not like in the melee. You can kind of step back out of it and look at it. And come to some important conclusions. And one of the things that's so amazing for me to see is that my grandson's parents are teaching him to love others, but they don't do it by saying, love me, love me, love me. They do it by teaching him to love others. And this is another nice thing about being a grandparent. You're one of the ones they're teaching to love. Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? But you see, this is how parents have such a vital, important relationship to their children in teaching them how to love others. You teach them to obey. That means that you're teaching them that there is right and wrong, and you are teaching them that there are consequences in doing what is right or doing what is wrong. Listen, a child who is not taught to obey will not have a healthy relationship with anyone, and they will almost always be in trouble. This is so very important. It's important to see that the commandment to honor begins with obedience, but it doesn't stay there. This is why that the commandment is to honor and not just to obey your father and mother. And when you think about it, the reason's pretty obvious, because obedience is temporary while honoring is lifelong. Once a child has grown up and established their own home, usually in marriage but not always, once they've established their own home and they're not living under the authority of their parents, the need to obey, the command to obey is no longer in play, but to respect and to honor parents is a lifelong commitment. And so this is why it says to honor your parents. See, that obedience is always going to be respect, but eventually it may be the actual physical care of parents. This is what it is to honor them. We'll talk about that more later. Honor your father and your mother. Now, here's the second question. Why does the commandment say father and mother and not just parents? Is there any significance to that? And I think so. In the giving of this word, God maintains the male-female distinction he ordered in creation. Or maybe a better way to say it is that God maintains the complementarian nature of male and female. In other words, a man is not a woman and a woman is not a man. Just in the same way that a father is not a mother and a mother is not a father. The commandment is not to honor parent thing one and parent thing two. God most certainly knew that there would be a time in which humans would so despise his design that they would lose sight of the distinction, the complementarian distinction of man and woman or father and mother. He knew that instead of seeing the vivid color and beauty of his design, they would flatten everything out, flatten it all down, and fail to see that beauty, instead see just like fuzzy black and white. I'm old enough to get the reference to black and white. Did you have a black and white television? You know what I'm talking about? I still remember watching one of the moon landings with my family on our black and white television. You remember the rabbit ears? Oh man, you haven't lived until you've worked rabbit ears. I'm telling you what. Dad'd be like, Duke, you hold this and stick your finger toward the north. Mike, you haven't watched television until you've watched it in fuzzy black and white. We'll do something to get the picture right. That's the world today. The world, instead of seeing and appreciating and enjoying the vivid colors of God's beauty in design, just flattens it all out to black and white, fuzzy, and then they work the rabbit ears to try to make it come in. But it doesn't. I think that's why God says not just honor your parents, but to honor father and mother. Now, I want to take just a moment, though, and speak to maybe straight to you, because there are some among us this morning who, because of life circumstances, whatever that might be, sometimes maybe death, maybe some other adverse life circumstance, that you do not have a father and mother, or at least not actively a father and mother who are involved in your lives. Or maybe you're a single parent, a single mother, or a single father. And maybe for you, even the whole talk about father and mother is kind of painful to hear. I want to encourage you today, and I hope that God's word will encourage you. Let me encourage you with these three things this morning. The first would be this. Always, no matter your circumstance, no matter my circumstance, let's always treasure and hold in wonder God's design, even if for some reason we can't experience the fullness of it. But always hold in wonder and treasure the beauty of God's design. When we lose that, we lose a lot. But then number two, look to the Lord to fill the gaps. Here's what's so amazing to me, and I trust is encouraging and helpful to you, and that is God anticipated your situation. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Right after the Lord has, for the second time, given the commandments, the Ten Commandments, in which he says, honor father and mother, in which he maintains that distinction, that complementarian distinction of man, woman, father, mother. But right after that, God anticipates your need when he says, about himself that he executes justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. And then it's so encouraging to me, I hope it is to you, that in Deuteronomy 16, when God is talking about the three main annual festivals for his people, that he specifically mentions the fatherless and the widow as entering into those festive occasions with the same joy as the rest of the people. Your life circumstance doesn't mean that you have to have in some way something less when it comes to being full of the fullness of God's joy. Job 29 verse 12, I delivered the poor who cried for help and the fatherless who had none to help him. Psalm 10 verse 14 says that the Lord is the helper of the fatherless. Psalm 68 verse 5, that he's the father of the fatherless. And Psalm 27 verse 10, for my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Look to the Lord to fill the gaps. He's promised to do so, and he's able to do so. And then number three, let the church be the church and minister to you and your family. You know, this is a wonderful thing about being part of a church. You can see examples of a godly man, godly father. You see examples of a godly woman, a godly wife and mother. And you can go to a youth group where there are men and women who are serving as leaders in that youth group. And you can be part of a small group where there's a godly woman who's encouraging and praying for and ministering to. And my point is, God has so designed the church that one of the means that he uses to fill the gaps in our lives is the church of Jesus Christ. Let the church be the church to you and your family. And then maybe we should say to the church, church, be the church. Include others. Look for those that have special needs as it relates to their family. Encourage them, help them, invite them in. Pursue hospitality. Church, be the church. Number three, what is the promise that your days may be long in the land mean? It's obviously a big part of this commandment. What does that mean? Well, the land is the promised land. We saw it back in Exodus chapter 6, where the Lord is telling his people, when Moses is first going to them, that God is going to redeem them from slavery and that he's going to lead them to the land of their fathers. And that's why it became the promised land, because God promised that land to them. We saw it again in chapter 13 and verse 11. This is the land that God promised to Abraham and his descendants through Isaac. This is the land that Jacob and his family left in order to go to Egypt and to survive for over 400 years. It is the land that God is now leading them back to, and the land that was an integral part of the covenant God made with them at Sinai. You see, in the covenant, God gives them a word to obey, and he gives them a land in which to live, and they're connected. If you obey my word, God says in his covenant, then I will cause you to live in peace and prosperity in the land. Now, if we bring the covenant of the fifth word, or the covenant, and the fifth word together, we see this interesting and important point. Honoring your father and your mother by obeying them and learning to live under their authority is parallel to obeying the Lord and learning to live under his authority. So you might think of it like this. If the people collectively obey God, then God will bless them with longevity in the land, peace and prosperity in the land. Individually, as you live in obedience to the Lord, your life will be blessed with longevity. You will get old. And how do you know that as you grow old, you will still be experiencing from God the good life? And the answer is the fifth word, because God has told his people to honor their father and their mother. So this is how God blesses his people with the promise of the fifth word. First, honor parents by obeying them, then honor them by caring for them. And if you honor them in this way, your days will be long in the land. That's the promise to his people, Israel, in that covenant that he makes with them. But what about new covenant people? What about Christians? What is God's promise for Christians? Is there anything to this to Christians today? And while certainly we would recognize that the promise of living in the promised land was for Israel, there certainly is something for Christians here, because the Apostle Paul includes this in Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3, when he's instructing parent-child relationships. And he says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Then he's going to quote from the fifth word, "Honor your father and mother." Paul then commentates on that and says this is the first commandment with a promise. And then he goes back to quoting the fifth word, "that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." I think for Christians, we would say this, that there is a general principle in this. And this is why Paul is quoting it to Christians. That general principle here is that honoring your father and your mother by first obeying them, then respecting them, always respecting them, and then caring for them leads to a spiritually peaceful and prosperous life. Children, again, think of the opposite. Children who are not taught to live in right relationship with others and are not taught how to live in right relationship to authority will have a very difficult time in life, even a miserable time. Of course, God can blast through bad parenting, as we said. But as a general principle, when you are brought up right, I like how Paul says, for this is right. When you're brought up right in the fear and teaching of the Lord, and you tend to, not always 100% of the time, but you tend to value and to live which is right. And then the people that you have in your life, maybe the one that you marry and the people who are closest to your life, they also value what is right. And you marry someone that is in the Lord and you value what is right. When you have children, you teach them what is right. You bring them up in what is right. And the general principle is that as you faithfully honor the Lord in this way, life will have a sense of peace and prosperity in it. Not necessarily financial, but spiritual peace and prosperity in your life. That, I think, is the general principle that Paul is alluding to with this fifth word. Now, let's talk about this. How can I keep this commandment? How can you keep this commandment? And I want to look at it from two perspectives. First of all, the perspective of children. When I say children, I'm not only talking about those living under the authority of their parents now in their home, but I'm also talking about everyone who has a living father or mother. Because as long as your father and mother are living, you're still somebody's child. And so let's talk about what this commandment would look like from the perspective of children. Well, as we said before, first of all, it's obeying. As long as you're living in their home and under their authority, then you obey your parents. Now, there is a qualifier on obedience in the scripture, and that is, if some authority requires you to disobey God, then we must obey God and not man. But listen, your parents wanting you to be home by 10 is not sin, whether you like it or not. And so, as you're living under their authority, in their home, children, obey your parents, for this is right. And then respect. And, you know, maybe you, like me, have parents who are easily respected. Maybe you didn't have parents like that, though. You know, even when your parents weren't honorable in their parenting, it's still important to respect them. There may be some settings in which you have to share with someone maybe some shortcoming or some sin of your parents. Maybe there's some setting in which that is necessary. But even if you did not have an honorable father or mother, it's still important to do what you can to respect them, especially while they're still living. I know many brothers and sisters who had challenging upbringings. They did not have honorable fathers and honorable mothers, and yet they still don't rip on them. They still don't tear them down. It's kind of like those in elected office. You may not appreciate what the president does. You may not appreciate what he stands for, and yet at the same time, there's a sense in which the office is respected. And this is what is true with our parents as well. It's important to respect father and mother. And then number three, when the time comes, you're ready and willing to provide physical care for elderly parents. How important this is today in the time in which we live. I certainly would make the case that there's never a time in which it might be appropriate or needful to use some kind of care facility, some kind of special care facility for one of your parents, but never do that just to be more convenient for you. You do that when it's absolutely necessary for the good of their care. How important it is that we do everything we can to care for our parents into the later years of their lives. Deb has been such an encouragement and example to me in this. She started, I think this was right after COVID, maybe it was during COVID, but every Sunday afternoon about 5 or 5:30, she FaceTimes her parents back in Iowa, and they have just come to so look forward to that time of being able to talk with her. And that's so very encouraging to them, and I have followed her good example, and this summer have started to FaceTime my parents on Sunday afternoon, and it's been a great blessing, and I'm really thankful for that. Stay in touch with your parents as best as you can. And I don't know if my dad's going to launch a third career or not as a stand-up comic, but he is absolutely hilarious. I'm telling you. Each week I'm telling Deb the funny things that he describes, the events of their week. And it's been a great blessing to me as well. Obey, respect, and care. So much more we could say in all of that. But children, you have a living father or mother, let's commit to honor them in this way. And now parents. Parents, so much of this is really directed to you as you have children that you're bringing up in the fear and teaching of the Lord, as you understand the need to teach them how to live in relationship to others and how to live in relationship to God and His authority. Let me give three words to parents, and the first is to teach. This is back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, so right in this whole mix of giving the law to His people, God tells them this. Chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Parents, that is a great phrase for you to keep in your mind. Teach them diligently. You must teach your children diligently, and part of that is going to be teaching them that there is right and wrong, and part of that will be to discipline them. Without negative consequences, nothing is learned. Somebody told me that years ago, and I found that to be so very true in my own life, but also as a parent. Without negative consequences, nothing is learned. And I just want to challenge you, parents, don't let the world so poison your mind that you come to think you're more righteous than God when it comes to how you rear your children. Don't let the world so poison your mind that you think you're more righteous than God when it comes to rearing your parents. Because listen, there's all kinds of parenting models out there. Just Friday on the briefing, Al Mohler talked about intensive parenting. Have you heard of what's described as intensive parenting? Basically, it says you involve your kids in absolutely every activity you possibly can, sun up to sundown, activity, 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 push, 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 7 days a week, including on Sunday. Every activity, you keep pushing, you keep pushing. It's referred to as intensive parenting. And I guess the thought is you keep them busy enough, they won't get into trouble. Don't listen. There's what's called gentle parenting. This is kind of Orwellian speak here, because we would all be in favor of being gentle parents. And yet gentle parenting isn't really parenting at all. It's kind of, in my mind, it's sort of like code words for bad parenting, for irresponsible parenting. As a matter of fact, parents, you need to listen to Gary Knapp's workshop on One Purpose Weekend. As that gets up online, you need to listen to that, because in the workshop that he does on child rearing, he talks about the fallacies of gentle parenting as a model or as a system of parenting. This is what I was observing not too long ago at the zoo. I'm sure this was an example of gentle parenting. We're there at the zoo, and there's this little boy, and he's pulling a wagon. And his little sister, she's just barely big enough to sit up in this wagon. And she's sitting in the wagon, and he's like running around with it like that. And the mom is like, "Billy, is that a wise decision?" I wanted to say, "Mom, little devils don't make wise decisions. That's why they're little devils. He's going to hurt his sister." You have to get involved. See, this whole idea is just to reject anything that's authoritarian. That all authority has to be put aside, and it's all just gentle, not authority. But listen, God has ordained authority in our lives for our protection, for our good. And yes, authority can be abused, and we should call that out and confront any abuse of authority. But listen, one abuse of authority is to not use it. To not use it, because it's part of God's design in our life. So here's the parenting model you need to follow. God has right in the middle of his word a book on parenting. It's called Proverbs. God's book of wisdom. And the whole setting of Proverbs is a father instructing his son. How about biblical parenting? Parents, teach your children to fear the Lord, to respect the Lord, to honor the Lord. Teach them wisely. And then the last two, guard and direct. This would be from shepherding a child's heart. And by the way, parents, we just got started on a Wednesday night class, shepherding a child's heart. There's still time to get into that if you would like. They're just getting started. But there's two big ideas in shepherding a child's heart. The first is that parents have to guard shaping influences in their children's lives. That's your job, parent, to guard shaping influences in their lives. Parents, are your kids on the internet? When are they on the internet? How much time are they on the internet? You have to know that. You have to guard shaping influences in their lives. And the second main point of the book is that you have to be used of God to give your children a Godward orientation, to direct them to the Lord. And so you're not only just teaching right and wrong, which is important, but you're also teaching them as they grow older to think about their own hearts. Why do they do what they do? Now, obviously, you don't do that with a two-year-old. You don't say, "What were you thinking and feeling when you bit your sister?" But as they grow older and begin to think and are able to discern, you don't want them just to know what's right and wrong, but you want them to begin to understand their own hearts. And that's why the title of that parenting class is Shepherding a Child's Heart. Guard their shaping influences and give them a Godward orientation in your life. Now, in our counseling ministry, we have several different resources that we like to use. And I was looking through those counseling booklets. There's 17 different titles. And three of them would be this, and maybe one of these would be helpful for you today: Caring for Aging Parents, or how to stop losing it with my kids. That may be helpful. Or the third, help, my toddler rules the house. There's 14 other titles, and one of those may be helpful for you. I've got those three here at the front, and I also have a list of all of the other titles of parenting resources that might be helpful to you. You could also find these in the display that's that direction in the foyer as you leave those doors. But listen, the good news for us as God's people today is that God is with us in this. He's with us. God wants us to honor father and mother. And he has so worked in life so that as we do that, it will be more peaceful, satisfying, joyful in our lives. Let's commit this morning by God's help and his grace to honor father and mother. Amen. Lord God, thank you for the time to be in your word today. We recognize how much we need it. Father, come alongside us this morning, we pray. Help us, Father, to honor father and mother. Help parents, Lord. Oh, Father, what a day in which they need your grace and your help. Would you please help them today, Lord? Would you please encourage them? And Lord, maybe one of these resources, or maybe just reaching out to another brother or sister in the church would be helpful to them. Whatever they need, Father, please lead them. In Jesus' name, amen.